Welcome to the Social Fabric Podcast with me, Andrea Splendori, and this week my guests are The Blizzards. This episode was recorded live in the Whale Theatre in Greystones, Ireland. Please subscribe, share and review. It's the only way podcasts like this have a chance to survive. For more information and more episodes, please visit socialfabric.ie. The title tune is Alice by Lucky Bones.
Can I call you up, oh Alice, on a Friday night? We could reminisce on old days and we could talk a while.
What about you, Louise? You had all sorts of mad hairstyles and stuff in there. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy the process?
I did. I loved it. Honestly, these two girls are incredible. Like, they've added a whole new dimension to the band.
let's give these two girls a name,
they
please.
They are, yes. Andrea Cullen and Tanya Cullen.
Wonderful. Well done. And, the reason I'm asking you about the videos, when I was talking to Brenda, he's telling me there's a thread from the videos to the album. It's not just releasing a song on Spotify. No. There's a lot more to it. So just tell us a bit about it.
But I think that's what it became. Mm. I mean, it can just be that. Mm. But it wasn't that. And, you know, we started chatting to you about Friction Burns, wasn't it? That was the first time when we were looking to make a video. And we didn't know what we were going to make at all. And we were actually thinking of a performance video. We were just all just bang out a performance video and it'd be grand. But you heard the song and you started to get some kind of idea. And I remember actually the first time you started to WhatsApp me. These girls started to WhatsApp me videos literally of, what was it, a war tank or something? You found a war tank.
It's all from Cromwell's guy.
It was inevitable. Yeah. A war tank and a piano submerged into a pond. I was like, who are these girls? Like, what the hell? And you were like, we could do this. And we were thinking, Jesus, this is going to be incredible. So we had a conversation about it and we said, let's let them run with it. Because normally we're control freaks. Like, we do, well, yeah, that's why you don't have a mic.
But you know, it's... But Bresi, it sounds like, you know, obviously you're on the Late Late Show, so you guys are absolutely loaded, you know, you're on the telly, your music, you know. But, you know, all of this costs money. But the reality, I just like to know, what was the thought, why did you decide to go that way? You know, because it's important, you know, the album's good, and then there's a thread to it, but you could have simply just released.
You can't simply just release. You got to honour it. Like, you have to do something, and... You see, everybody thinks you have to do something for a reason all the time. So we have to, and this video has to get this amount of views. It's not bollocks, it doesn't. Mm. You create a piece of art that you believe in and you stand by, and whatever happens after that is out of your control. I keep going back to that. But we did with the videos. Videos don't get watched anymore. There's YouTube, you know, algorithms don't let people watch, unless you're paying thousands of quid to advertise stuff. Mm. They don't let it. So don't dance to the tune of tech companies. Do your own shit, and I think that's what we did with it. Videos, and I think the other element of the videos was, and I mean this, and I, you know, to Andrew and Tanya and Deglan and everyone who's not here, same with Brendan, it brought something to us. It gave us a bit of self belief, even, you know, like everyone, we don't have loads of confidence sometimes. You're kind of, should we do it, or we bother our holes doing it, or, and I think that was what the videos did. It was like, and I mean, me and Declan would talk about this, like, what makes a great creative team. It's very easy to be creative with your huge budgets. And you're like, oh, here you are. Do whatever you want to do. Piss off and live on an island for the next 6 months and come up with a great idea. It's when all these obstacles are put in you, pandemics, budgets, all this other stuff, that's when you witness great creativity. Because people go, we got to do something. We got to do it with these constraints and we got to make no excuses for it. And that's what we all did together. That's what we did with the Bronte team. That's what we did with Brendan and the album. And, you know, the reality is, we know how this works. We know that, you know, you're never going to be paying bills with this shit. You're just not. It's just not. But that's not why we do it. I genuinely don't believe it's why I do it. I missed performing so much. It's an irreplaceable part of my life. Like sport was, I suppose. You know, when you retire from sport, and I know if Reggie's here, Reggie is not a really good friend of mine. He was my captain at Leinster, and we've talked about this too. It's like, you never replace that. It never gets replaced. Mm. and it's the exact same of performing. You never replace it. So 2.5 years of not being able to do it, we did what we could do. We made good videos. We made a good album. And that's all we had.
Well done. I think we need to take a break because you need to stretch your legs and everything. Then we come back. You have a few more songs for us, and I want to ask you a few things about Spotify and the album and everything else. And I want to... No, not your Spotify. I want to know about the difference between the two. And then we'll allow the audience to ask you a few questions as well. So take a break. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. We're back. Sit down. I picked the biggest man in the room to tell him to sit down. Reggie, do whatever you like. If you want to stand up, it's okay. thanks very much for staying. I know somebody had to go back to the babysitter, but she left with a CD under her arm, which is great. And I want to talk to you about the CD for a second, because I had no idea. So I interviewed quite a few musicians with my podcast, and I was asking all of them, you know, what's it like to make money in music? And I always remember somebody said, you know, whatever, I can't remember the number, but something like 20,000 streams and you can buy a pint type of thing, you know, so it really isn't a huge amount of money. But you were saying...
The
off-license. But you were saying the importance of the physical albums and, you know, what that does to the charts. That's part from it. But tell us a bit more about that, because I know nothing about it.
Yeah, I mean, streams are where, you know, streams are streams, but they're I think it's about 25,000 streams will get you coffee. And as I said, it's where the music industry's gone. At first it was like Napster and everything was illegally downloaded. So I suppose streaming is a better option than that. But when you're releasing albums, your job is to sell your physical records. And you do all these beautiful designs and stuff like that. And that's kind of Andrea's subtle way of kind of curving is into buy the fucking album there. Is there? It's all signed there.
I wasn't subtle. I was going to get there.
But actually, the thing about it is it's like, you know, no, physical albums is where it's at when you're trying to chart and you're trying to get your kind of first week of vibing out there. It is what it is. It's just the reality of it. Streaming is, unless you're Ed Sheeran, streaming is a pretty pointless thing for most bands in terms of revenue.
Yeah.
So you keep mentioning Ed Sheeran. I wanted to ask... First, he said he was going to die or something anyway. But I was going
to
ask Declan.
He said he was going to die. Jesus Christ. Fucking hell, then.
Yeah. Declan, Ed Sheeran fills the Croke Park and all these massive massive venue. What's your dream venue? Where would you like to play? Or what have you already played in and you would like to play again?
I never thought about this until you asked me that question. So can we have a bit of silence so I can think about it?
You can, take your time.
Yeah, I don't really, like, a dream venue. Like, you could say, you know, gigging in Croke Park, but, like, some dreams you have to try and make a reality. Like, you know, in all things in life, you're like, oh, no, this is my dream. Like, get over yourself, for fuck's sake. You're never going to do it, you know. But, back the Olympia for us, and it's still actually a venue I still dream about playing, because we played it a couple of times. We sold it out a couple of times over the years. And it's just, at the time, it was such a goal for us as a band, and we went there and did it. And looking, playing on the Olympia stage and looking up at the height of it and, you know, 1,700 or 1,800 people having paid in and watched it, you know. And it kind of still feels like a dream. It's in our kind of early days we did that, you know. And I still kind of put that up there again. I'd love to do it again. I'd love to play that venue again. I think it's the adequate size and the adequate room for us and for what we do, you know. And especially in the Irish scene, it's a renowned venue for good reason, because it's a phenomenal room, like, you know. That's the most serious question I've ever answered in my life.
That's all right. I'll ask you something else in a minute, but I'm going to ask Justin, because he's had a bit of a lead into it. Now, which one is your venue?
I'd like us to do Glastonbury at some stage in the future. I think that'd be a bit of fun. Somewhere on the pyramid stage. Doesn't matter where on the bill. First or second, I'll be happy out.
Underneath the stage.
Where you pay in, we'll just pay in one of those trailers.
But you've done festivals, right? You've done festivals.
We have, yeah. But, like, it's a different thing. Like, a festival like that is one of the biggest ones in Europe.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, sometimes they have years where they have to let the land recover. They can't put it on. The pandemic has stopped that. So when it does come back, it's going to be a big one. And I'd love to be somewhere on there. That'd be a dream for
you. Think like the we when we started in Dex's bedroom, literally with his drum kit in his bed. That was
that's
it.
True.
And I'll never forget. We supported. Dex was, and Doran at the time was massive Oasis fans. And one of the kind of reasons you start learning guitar, you always get people that really inspire you, and just the way that their music was so easy to play. So I was like, I can play that.
Yeah.
But ended up supporting them in Slane, and that's the type of shit that you just get you can't get your head around. And I remember that day we played it, and our mate Tyrone Brunton was the production manager for Oasis and Prodigy, who were also on the bill. And none of the other bands were allowed any of the stage. It was really strict. But when we came on the stage, we had the full Oasis stage because Tabby was like, Mullingar lad, he was like, sort the boys out. And after the gig, and this is, I think, a story, I think it's quite an important story because it was the one that kind of made us as a band. A guy came up to us and said, to our manager at the time, and said, are you interested in supporting AC/DC next week in Punchestown? And we were like, what? Said, yeah, the support band, which was Thin Lizzy, the drummer broke his collarbone and we needed a replacement act, and we saw you play and we thought you were really good. And now we are not the right band to put in an AC/DC bill. Like, we're just not. But I remember Dex saying to me, I was like, I don't think I can do this. Because we got death threats, like genuine death threats from AC/DC fans. I was like, what are you going to do to us?
We're going to have throwing balloons piss of piss.
These
balloons coming up. Another balloon of piss.
It was you and your brother. It was him and his brother. I remember it was Ray, actually, who said to me.
And
I was like, I'm not doing it. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Ray goes, if you don't do this, he said something that really changed everything. He said, I said, Ray, like, we're going to get absolutely thrown under a bus here. And he goes, those pricks to give out about you can tell their grandkids they gave out about you playing with AC/DC, and you can tell your grandkids you fucking played with AC/DC. I went, you're right. And it was the week Michael Jackson died. And as we were about to go on stage for AC/DC, I just turned to the lads and went, don't have any gaps between the songs so they don't boo us. And don't play any of the hits, just play the old heavy stuff. And they were like, yeah, grand. So we walked out. This is the worst. Excuse me. I've just been really honest about this, but hadn't slept in 2 weeks because I was so nervous about it. And the little kids started booing us at the front. Ooh. I said, what the fuck would you know about AC/DC? You're still wanking into a sock, you little prick. And the whole crowd were like, yeah. And then halfway through the set, I went, what was that? Beat it. I was... and 70,000 ACD fans who hate pop music. I was like, and then that was it. Yeah. And I remember that was just, I drove home that night and I just crashed because I was like,
not the car now.
No. It was just
so
nervous.
More specific when you're driving home and crashing, right? You know,
but it was. I was never prouder than the band that day that said, right, yeah, we should probably not be on this bill, but we're going to take this on and we're going to do it. And then we did. And again, that's the stuff that I think really builds a band and builds resilience. And in the middle of the set, I remember just playing away and the stage opened up underneath me and it was a fucking train. I mean a train, like a CIE train underneath me in the stage, and one of the stage crew gave me a thumbs up like this. I was like, what's going on here? And because I hadn't slept in the week, I thought I was losing my mind. And he was like, no, it's grand. There's a train on the set. And that was it. That was our thing. But if you're asking me the favourite venues to play, it was definitely not Punchestown with AC/DC.
Well, the last question I'm going to ask Louise, because Louise now, she's the newest member of the band, so she's going to bring you places because you guys are stuck in the past.
Thank you.
So where would you take? Where is it going to be the biggest gig then? Come on, Louise. Take him somewhere. Where do you want to play? Where are you going to bring him?
Stuck in the past.
Jesus, that was the biggest slap in the
shade.
It was when you said that, the worst thing I thought of was Madison Square Garden. And I was thinking, am I thinking of Katie Taylor? I just want to fight somebody in Madison Square Garden. But that is what I thought of. Like, I used to want to be in bands since I was little.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be in huge, big, like, blow your head off bands.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're you were my last hope.
We're getting absolutely dull here.
So for those of you that don't know, Luis applied for the job as a bass guitar
applied
with a band.
For the job.
without knowing how to play and without having a bass. And so, well done, you got in.
Thanks, you blew my cover there.
Well, you did say it on this stage before, you told us the full story.
But it's a new audience.
Well, listen, let's hear some more music. You mentioned what the song Trust Me was all about, and we don't need to go back on that, about the girls coming into Mullingar or whatever it was. But you have a couple of more songs, Fantasy and Currency. Tell us a bit more about that.
Currency of My Soul is a song on the album. I actually wrote it for my sister's wedding. Now putting her head down, gone. And I was meant to play it for them when they walked up the aisle, but then I shot myself. I sent it to the girl doing the ceremony, and she was like, "Do you know any covers?" I was like, "Nice." So I didn't play it at her. I ended up playing Foo Fighters. I think it was at the time. I think after what happened with Taylor Hawkins, it was quite a nice song to play in. But this song, Currency My Soul, is about the idea that the greatest gift you can give anyone in your life is your presence. A world that keeps trying to rob it off you every single day. Every single day is trying to rob your attention, your presence. And now when you're with the people you love, sometimes you're just not with them. You're there, but you're not with them. And I think we can all kind of relate to that, where you feel almost detached from the people connected to. So that's what this song's about, is like, when you're with those feckers, be with them. Because they're the most important people in your world. And it came from a phrase in anyone who read the book Tuesdays with Murray, a beautiful book about a guy who was a lecturer, and he was going to die, and one of his old pupils used to love this guy, and he went back and he used to meet him every Tuesday to get like his wisdom before he passed away. And it was always about, your presence is the gift, that's it. And he said, it's the currency of your soul. That's what you give people. So we wrote a song about it, and there's a lyric in it, like the third verse, where it goes, close your eyes and think of somebody you love, close your eyes and think of somebody you miss, somebody you'd have in your top three list. Somebody you have in your top three list. What was the next bit?
Hang on, I'll get the lyrics up here. I'm still learning them. I'm not joking.
Someone you have in your top three list.
Someone at times you so often dismissed.
In a world that can rob us, you'd steal for that kiss.
Told you.
Well, now I don't even need it. Just
enjoy it.
Next, go for a walk. So it's just me and the two lads.
I'm a girl.
Is that on? You hear that? Yeah, so it's called Currency Missile. And then we're just going to bait a few tunes out within.
Think of someone you love, someone who empties you and fills you right up. It's funny how we miss living just trying to keep up. Sacrifice our hearts to those who don't give a fuck. Presence is the currency of my soul. Ooh, ooh, no, your presence is the currency of my soul. Your presence is the currency of my soul. Close your eyes and think of a stranger. I've never been a man for these small talk icebreakers. So tell me when did kindness become a radical act? Love is just a hashtag and fiction sold as fact. Of my soul. Ooh, no, your presence is the currency of my soul. Your presence is the currency of my soul. Think of someone you miss, someone you'd have in your top three list, someone at times you so often dismiss. The world that can rob us, it'd steal for a kiss. Of my soul. Oh, 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 no, your presence is the currency of my soul. Your presence is the currency of my soul.
Are you?
Here comes the lyric, man, Deck. So, I have no idea, Deck. So, first and foremost, before we go on, thank you so much for coming out on Sunday night and buying a ticket and doing all that stuff that makes a huge difference to every band, an artist, a musician, and theatre, and poet, and everything. The creative industry needs you. More than you probably realise. So, thank you. It really was lovely to do our first gig in our hometown, for me and Louise anyway, in the Whale Theatre. It took us 12 months. But, mm-hmm. And also thank you for being incredibly inviting and welcoming and having parties for us at 6:30 a.m.
That we never went to.
That we never went to. We didn't go to our own party. But if anyone wants to have a party in conventional
that's
times, that would be fine. But we want to play out with a couple of tunes. As Andrea said, the album's there, it's signed. You know, picking up a copy does make a difference to us, on especially in a week of release. So if you want a signed copy, we'll be over there. We're going to do a Q&A. You what?
I might get to number one in the chart show.
Yeah, that's the chart show. You know, and that shit matters a lot to us. So, you know, we're rebuilding a story. But we're going to play a couple of tunes. I think Andrew's going to open anyone with any questions or whatever, that kind of crack. But this is quite sweaty now, so lads, I try to not spit that much when I sing. I don't have COVID, if that makes anything. I had a antigen test today, but saliva does leave my mouth. It tends, just through pure physics, to go straight. Sometimes it goes that way. Especially in these songs.
You ever see a slow motion of it, though?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And the spit looks so big in slow motion. It's like, whoa, Jesus Christ. But I'm particularly spitty.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I apologise. I'll try to put the windscreen wiper thing on. Or I'll pull back a little bit. And the pesto thing I've explained already, so I'd have to do it anyway.
Everyone's looking forward to this.
As I said, this song was written about going. It's so funny because when we wrote this, like, just a little insight into this track. We were at the record label Universal at the time, and we sent our album in, and they were like, "Yeah," I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like, any kind of, when anyone goes, "Yeah," you know, fuck, and we're like, no, we don't hear a single. I'm like, oh my God, we don't hear a single. It was so heartbreaking. So as a joke, I mean a total piss take, we wrote this song and it became our biggest song. So I know nothing about the music industry or music. I know nothing about it. This was a nursery rhyme, a joke, a bit of crack. I sent it in a day later, like, that's a hit. And they were right. So it's called Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. No slots. We thrown all the in our Crayola sign. Yeah. Look at that. It's like the most like. Is that you, Brendan? Is that your writing? Oh, the marker. it's lovely writing. You join it up, really cool. So yeah. So this is a. Yeah, we just. But I know, honestly, thank you all, and thank everyone to work on the album and the Brian and Whale Theatre. What a beautiful little place. Yeah. Beautiful. And real privilege to have this in your town. My town. but it is. It's lovely to have this stuff, and please don't take it for granted. Get out to live music, live theatre. I've said that already. I'm going to say it one more time. But this is the last song we're going to play, and it's another song that wasn't meant to be on the album. I'm starting to kind of get the point that we really don't know what we're doing.
this, do.
You do, yeah. But this, we did this song and it was like, no, this, it's all right, it won't make the album. And it was our second biggest song. And as this is about, we're from Mullingar, obviously, and when we grew up in Mullingar, it was, I've kind of given this away already, there was like, you know, you knew everybody, you knew everyone, everyone knew everybody. And when it was, I think, in the 90s, a lot of Eastern Europeans started coming to like regional towns around Ireland. He's like 6 foot two, tanned. And even the lads, and we're like, who the fuck's that fella? Thinks he's great. And he's like, these lads, and they're fucking, and they're just these beautiful people. We're like, oh, right. We were raging with them. But there's one particular one that worked in the petrol station on the N4 on the way to Dublin. And everyone fancied the arse off her. She had literally, Fiku used to call her. And there was not a hope of any of us even getting hello off her. And that's what we wrote the song about. It's called Fantasy. Thank you,
at the knees, I'm drooling at the mouth. They open up my gob and then nothing comes out. Hey, I've got a new car. Whoa, let's go for a ride. You see, I'm not very skilled at the art of seduction. You could stamp it on my forehead and I still wouldn't catch on. Well, why can't you see? Whoa, what you're doing to me? You know you are my fantasy. You've got my la la la. I say, stalk you at night. Whoa, if you put up a fight, you know my girlfriend, she doesn't know a thing. Pure ignorance is such a beautiful thing. Hey, you put on this voice, like I had a choice, you know.
Thank you.
So I was sitting there. I thought, maybe a bit harsh on the guys. And but just I met Brezzy a couple of years ago through the work, The Lost for Life. You all know Brezzy and you all know Louise. I don't know the guys that well, but I get to know him eventually. But so the work he does and The Lost for Life and everything around mental health, and same with Louise. So, but I was just watching you there, Brezzy. I'm going to say, that's it. You're in your element. This is you. This is your element. And, you know, when I met you, we did some great conversations and a lot around mental health, really serious stuff. But this is great. It's great to see you in your element, happy, and great tunes. Love it. So I did tell you we were good. You didn't believe me. So I think we'll open it up to the floor, because there's always some great questions coming out, and then we might squeeze out another song. We'll squeeze one song out of it. I mean, it's squeezing, because poor Declan there is just, his hands are raw. But you did a lovely rendition of Sit Down last night, which I'd love you to do it again. So if anybody wants to ask a question, you can do whatever you want. But I like that one. I put in a request, put it that, and then you can form it like an order queue. The CD will be sold there, so you can form an order queue. Just order pints as you go. Anyway, no, we'll get to that in a second. So anybody wants to ask a question, we're not going to do a microphone. Just stand up and I'll repeat the question to the band or to your favorite member of the band.
What time is this?
Anybody? So anybody, anyone, anything at all? I'm sure you have a question for somebody. Yeah, there's a question in the corner, please.
Yeah, I'm a fresher, and I'm just wondering about that cleat. For your injury, if we can have any better.
You've been robbing lads for years. You'll be all right. I had insurance, so it didn't come out of the IRFU fund, so we're all good. But no, it's funny with the IRFU. I always talk about it. They couldn't have been nicer to me, to be honest, because when I were retired, I wasn't well at the time. I was like, I just wasn't good. And I remember going to Matt Williams and saying to him, I can't do it. I literally can't do it anymore. And he had just moved to Scotland to be the Scottish national coach. And little did most people know that my mum is Scottish, but Matt did. So the day I decided to retire from rugby was the day I graduated. And he rang me to offer me a national contract with Scotland. And I remember saying to him, I'm out, I can't do it. And my mum, I came in and said, Mum, she goes, you fucking idiot. She's like, what are you at? Could you imagine, though, that after the IRFU kind of pain? But one thing I will say, and I'm not going to go into it about rugby stuff, I have so much respect for what they've done. I really do, because the reason you all watch the likes of Leinster's and Ireland's doing what they're doing is because they invested in academies and they developed people. And when I decided to retire, they were incredibly good to me. And that's just the reality of it. But remember Matt Williams saying to me, I had him on the podcast, and this kind of ties it in. I had him on the podcast. And the reality was, when I was playing, I really wasn't well. And he said to me, I said, what did you think was wrong with me? And he said, I thought you were an alcoholic and you didn't care. And I remember, he said, I missed you, but I've never missed another player after that. And that was really incredible to hear him say that, because, it was like, I knew I wasn't the only one when I was playing rugby. And it's brilliant to see the likes of Keith Earls and people like that now, who's top of his game, world class, always has been, coming out and speaking about bipolar disorder. You know, and the image, like, that wasn't for him. He didn't do that for him. He did that for the 15-year-old who loves rugby, who might not quite sure know what's going on in their head. So that kind of stuff is very powerful. And rugby in Ireland is, we're one of the best teams in the world. The size of us, like, how do we manage that? So, I have nothing but positive things to say about rugby. You're not getting a penny. Not a feckin' cent of it. And you know what? He's right. My insurance policy bought all my gear that I started recording studio. Remember that? I was like, when all these preamps, it was like, I'm not bothered anymore. I'm not going to play. So the last 6 months that I didn't play with Leinster, that I had a torn hamstring, it wasn't torn at all.
Anyone else? Thank you for your question. Anyone else? There is a gentleman in the corner there.
How do you get people to sing a song that you wrote?
To get who?
How do you get people to sing a song that you wrote?
I don't know. You just, like, even last night we were...
Threaten them.
We threaten them.
Individually, before a gig, we go around. Listen, I've got to fucking tell you one thing. Yeah. If I don't see you singing, you're finished after this.
No, you don't. Even last night, we were playing like all the new songs, and the album's out a day. Like, and it's funny, we played Play God, and everybody was singing it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you think of that, you still don't realise that, you know, people pick up on certain things from certain songs, and they were singing it while we were playing, and it was, yeah, I think even that was, but I think, yeah, it was my mum, like, but it was still cool. It's like, no, it is. It's
I wasn't
like,
even singing it. Like, no, I don't know the words.
I get you a copy of the lyrics.
It's just God, lad. But no, when people start playing, singing their tunes, it's just kind of something that was nothing and then became something in your head one day. As now people are singing it, it's just,
that's mad.
It's incredible stuff. Yeah. And like, you know, we've been lucky with that, because we've written songs that have got huge support and have done you know, big things for us. And but yeah, it's a very special feeling. But it's just that face melty madness of even last night when you played like Fantasy at the end. We brought our friend Marty Mulligan, who's like 60 years of age, up on stage. He looks 20 and he moves faster than any 20-year-old I've ever seen. And he came up on stage, and it was just wild.
I was waiting for him to fall. He kept doing this.
Oh my God! So was I.
And he kept flying at the edge of the. Brilliant.
I wonder, during Fantasy, so he was kind of dancing around the place, and he was facing me in the drum, looking for like a bit of a yeah, man, yeah. I was just, Marty, calm the fuck down. And he looked like, okay, cool, yeah, calm down. Like he was completely hyper. I thought he was going to like nose bomb into the door.
And he took my mic off me, and he left. That's where he left my mic. So by the end of the song,
you are my man.
It was worth it.
So I'm afraid we don't have an answer for you, but that's the...
threatening people.
That worked, did it? Yeah. Thanks for it. Anyone else? Anybody? God, you're miles away. I didn't realise there were loads of people down there.
It's the VIP area.
Look, there's a question for the VIP. Look. Go on, say something. You must have a question for somebody.
She was giving you the fingers.
Oh, there's somebody in the corner. Look. Go ahead. Does he like living in Greystones?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, my dad came in. My dad went to Pres Bray. He's from Donegal. He was in the army, and he was sent away by the army to go to Pres Bray, and he fell in love with Greystones. Years, I mean, that was God, whatever age he is now. He's 73. 90s. No, he's 73, and I remember saying to him, when I started to look for somewhere to live, I was like, I think I want to live in Greystones. And a lot of people don't realise, I got my first Irish cap in Greystones. I've always had a weird affiliation to the place, but he came in, he's always been trying to tell me, like, you should try and buy Greystones. Fuck Dublin, don't worry, Dublin's full of shite, it's too expensive. I says, have you looked at Greystones? And then Mullingar, and then he came in when I was kind of thinking, I was living at home with him through the lockdown. He came in one day randomly, he goes, did you hear? I said, well, I said, Greystones has been voted the best place in the world to live. He's just in a mad. I was like, he just kept dropping like little articles. And then one day I just made a bid in the gaff, and I was like, I'll never get it. It was in shite. And I got it, and I couldn't tell him because he would just lost his shit so much. But yeah, it's a beautiful place. One of the big things I think we both wanted was a community thing with Lust for Life, and what we did. I did a lot of work with the schools here. And I kind of said, if I live somewhere, I want to bring something to it. That was always something I was very pushy about. But I like, as much as I love Greystones, I am from Mullingar, and it is my home, and I miss it, and I love it. But I feel very at ease here. It feels.
Yeah. Also, really, we have a great neighbour who I just spotted.
Oh, it's Dave here.
Yeah.
There he is. Yeah.
So Dave's our neighbour, right? I'm going to say something about Dave, right?
Just spotted him just casually.
I was terrified where I'd move and go, what if I don't get on with my neighbours? And I met Dave and I went to Louise, fuck, he's really fucking sound.
Like, oh,
and he's
shit.
Lovely, and he's like he's just nice. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, I don't know, he's just really lovely. And you are, Dave, you're a real gent, and you've made it life very easy for us. And yeah, it's lovely to, and you see the stuff he's doing. We look out the window and he literally has designed a Disney set and it's these angels of with wire and then like looking at it going, holy shit. And I'm kind of thinking, can you build guitars, Dave? I was like, you can build it. But you know, it is. It's having good neighbours, I think. And yeah, I do. I think it was terrifying to move to a new place. But my dad was like, you're fucking moving there and that's all there is to it. And even if... You know, so he's delighted, and I think he's spent more time in Greystones than I have. But Louise, what do you think? Louise is from Navan.
I get you. Yes, I am from Navan. I'm from Navan. No, I love it. I do love it here. I actually, we were talking about it the other day. We need to spend more time actually in the village.
I think it just got so busy.
Yeah.
And then, and the other thing I'll say as well that. Probably, obviously, you all know this because you live here. But sweet Jesus Christ, Wicklow is some stunningly, sexily beautiful fucking county. It's just outrageous. Like when you go inland and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It's like every movie set in one location. So I think, I never realized. I used to do a lot of cycling and I would cycle the hills. But like when you're cycling those hills, they don't seem that pretty. For fuck's sake, when you're 18 stone, you're dragging your hole up the hill. But like,
you're good at that. Like, I'd rather a horse. If anyone has a horse, actually,
I'm delighted. I'm delighted. Do you know it's the most beautiful? It's the best place in the world, best community in the world to live in. Do you know?
Don't know if you saw the signs, but
yeah.
I didn't realize people from Mullingar were as bad as people from Cork. Keep saying I'm from Mullingar. I'm from Mullingar. You say that about 20 times tonight. You're from Mullingar.
Andre, I'm going to thump the head off you. Now.
He's definitely from Mullingar.
He's from Mullingar, so is the other guy. Anyone else? Sorry, Dick, you were about to say something.
No, I just need to say he's from Mullingar. I just need to thump the head off you.
All right, yeah.
That just proved it.
Right, a couple of more questions, then we'll let him play the line. That's it. Somebody at the very end. There you go. Hey. Which of the songs?
It's actually not one we did tonight, but it's called Wartime General, which I keep calling Wartime Criminal. I'm like, oh, I love Wartime Criminal. He's like, oh God, that's not what it's called. So it's Wartime General, but it's very, very heavy, and it's particularly heavy on the bass. So it's one that I can dig into personally. So it's one that I can completely. I love a song that I can just lose myself in. When I'm, you're like, oh, it'll be so nice, but it's not like that. It's heavy. No, it's very heavy.
It's funny because that song, Wartime General, is about being assertive, and I have this saying that sometimes the most mindful thing you can do is tell somebody to fuck off. And everyone says, oh, you do mindfulness. You must be really relaxed. And then you never lose your... I was like, no. When someone's been an arsehole, someone's been an arsehole. It's just, you know, that's... But Wartime General is about the idea that people have this... Just because we now have things like Twitter and the world, we think we have a right to throw people under a bus and to define and take their dignity from them just because, you know, we want to write something. I was like, no, if someone does that to you, stand the fuck up to them. They don't have any right to do that to you or define who you are. And that's what Wartime General is about. And the lyric in it is like, I found peace, now the battle has ceased, but for you I'm a wartime general. I'd find peace in the famine or feast, but for you I'm a wartime general. So that one person that thinks they can do that to you, you're not having it. And that's, I think it's also...
It's the intent of it.
Yeah, it's boundaries and don't let people piss on your buzz. Like, that's the vibe of it. And like, I think the song is the first song in the album and I love it.
There you go. Brian and I were talking this evening. Brian, the director of the theatre, we're talking this evening, and that's our favourite song, both of us. There you go.
It's the opener on the album. If you'd like to buy it,
yeah. Listen, the last question. Then we get you to play a song, and then we can go to bed. Anyone else? Anyone else? Can't see anybody. Oh, there's a gentleman at the back there.
How much did the pandemic affect your album?
Made us write an album.
I think the pandemic defined us. Can you hear me? Yeah, great. What was the question again there at the back? breaks are always a good thing, you know. Like, I'm married like 14 years,
And if I get away from my wife in 10 days, I'm like, come back. I actually do love her. Like, it's amazing. And you realise in them, in the breaks away from the things you love, how much you actually love them, because you kind of lose the definition of what things mean to you, you know. Sorry, the wife analogy is poor, and I hope nobody's recording this. But I think if you spend time away from something, you get an idea of like how much you really like it, and you know how much it means to you, and how much it fills your heart, and all. I got all emotional then straight away. So yeah, I think it defined us as a band. Like it really directed us in what was important to us. You know, we spoke about that a few times tonight in terms of not being about kind of popularity or radio playlists or, you know, all these kind of fickle things that you get in the music industry. It was more about just being together, playing music, enjoying it. And, yeah, I love my wife.
Come on back.
Although Justin has something to say.
Just loves his wife.
You're so lucky she's gone home.
Oh, yeah, she's gone home. Yeah. She was told to go home.
All right, last question, and then we'll get a... Will you give us another song after the last question?
We'll try. Yeah, we'll try. We've never done it acoustically, but I'm sure we can...
That's fine, you'll be
we can figure it out.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Anyone else, or... no other question. Wonderful. Oh, there's one more, sorry. There's always one more. Go ahead. Oh, Jesus. there's we'll another person from Mullingar.
You should just tell him we're not famous. I'm sitting there, and don't then tell I'm burping pesto all over the front row because I had dinner an hour early. It was lovely because we went through with all the lads, all the kids, and
yeah, we brought our they were there today.
And Daniel, who's
my little fella,
was for today. We just pretended he was our manager, and we were asking questions. He was like, "The lighting in here is very dark." So it was,
that's why the bill wasn't paid.
But no, it is. It's. I think bringing it back to kind of the, I know Andrea's joking about where you're from and all that kind of stuff, but it does put a big stamp on who you are, the people you grow up with and where you're from. So from the kind of Mullingar side of things that keeps coming up every time, is we genuinely do. It defined everything. That's not a word, is it? It did. It defined who we were as a band, and we've just been... And the other thing I would say is, when we were writing this album, it's kind of a sidestep, but it was all written in this little my little podcast room right beside Dave's.
Like a phone
so
box.
So Dave was baiting the hammer, and me and Louise were like, oh, singing these fucking tunes, baiting out of it, singing, and Dave was like... I remember one day we were doing... I think it was Wartime General, and you were screaming... I said, Dave's going to end up bringing like a domestic abuse line or something, because this is like what. So I had to go into Dave, sorry, we're actually recording vocals over there, like the whole thing. And he was like, don't worry about it, you can hear him fucking angle grinders making the fucking fairies and stuff. But yeah, no, it's been, I think that this evening was a really lovely thing for me anyway, to be able to bring their families up and bring them to the house and bring them out to Sonny's across the road and get them high on sugar,
which,
so they're all like, yeah. And then Deck told his wife to go home.
I did. I love her though.
Well, listen, I'm going to leave the stage. I'd just like to thank everybody and thank you guys for having me on the stage. If you need an extra guitarist, you know, whatever.
Well, if you have
I can do three chords in the truth.
You can, as long as you don't talk, you're okay. No.
Yeah. But listen. thanks a million and see you again. Enjoy. The last song. Take care.
Thanks so much, Andrea. Cheers.
Cheers. Take care.
sing myself to sleep, a song from the darkest hours, secrets I can keep. Yeah, all the day, swim from far too deep, extremes of your sweet and sour, hope that won't exist. At home I pray, thrown by the undertow, my life is out of control, and I believe this bridge will bear my weight, so let it go. Oh, sit down, oh, sit down, oh, sit down next to me, sit down, down, down. Sympathy. I'm relieved to hear that you've been to some far out places. It's hard to carry on when you're feeling so alone. Swim from far too deep, extremes of your sweet and sour, hope that won't exist. Air I pray, thrown by the undertow, my life is out of control. If I haven't seen such riches, I could live with being poor. Oh, sit down, oh, sit down, oh, sit down, sit down next to me, sit down, down. Sympathy. Who find that touch by madness, sit down next to me. Those who find that touch by sadness, sit down next to me. Those who find themselves ridiculous, sit down next to me. In love and in fear and in need and in tears, in love and in fear and in need and tears, in love and in fear and in need and tears, in love and fear and hate. Thank you all so much. Been a pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Social Fabric with me, Andrea Splendori, and that was a live event recorded in the Whale Theatre in Greystones. Please stay tuned, subscribe, share, and review. And if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please email me at andrea@socialfabric.ie.
But if I meet you somewhere far down the line, the sun still shines in your hair, kiss you once, then I'll say goodbye. Yeah, if I meet you someplace far down the line, the sun still shines in your face.